It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in all over North America. I hope you're well. I hope you're great. I hope you're amazing. The show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've been hanging out for an hour. Where have you been? We talked about Bradley Beal, former member of the Phoenix Suns. Agreed to a contract buyout today, is now a member of the Los Angeles Clippers. Caitlin Clark, dealing with a groin injury, suffered last night. She's been dealing with a groin injury for seemingly weeks now. She came back and she's hurt again. Won't be in action tonight against the New York Liberty. They are beating the hell out of Caitlin Clark. We talked about the All-Star game last night that went to a swing-off, and we have so much more to do as we continue on with the show. We're going to be joined by Pete Futak, who covers all things college football. He'll be here to talk with us about the SEC, the Big 12, what we need to see, what we need to pay attention to. He'll be here in 20 minutes. Of course, in about an hour from now, we're going to bring you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at the top six NFL rookies to watch in 2025. Yeah, we got some rookies that may not even be rookies. They may go back to college. I'll explain. We'll get to that top six list in an hour from now. How about also this, in an hour from now, we're going to have the ESPY Awards. Yeah, taking place in Los Angeles. I got to admit, since the pandemic, the ESPYs have kind of been like, I don't want to say a bore, but I don't think they have been all that memorable. We'll get to that as we continue on with the show. You want to be a part of the show? You can do that too. Here's the phone number. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Okay? And if you've missed a minute of the show, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for listening live on your local affiliates. If you got SiriusXM, channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a day, what a day. Yeah, Caitlin Clark, oh, hilarious. Bacha, did you see her brother basically blame the referee last night on social media for her being hurt, and then he deleted it? Did you see that?
I did not. So her brother complains too, just like her?
Well, I guess they got to stand up for his sister, right? Cash cow, breadwinner.
Yeah, but like, it's a point to argue with the ref about you getting hurt is, it's kind of crazy because there's other way. It's not just the ref can't magically get you to pull a muscle. It just happens. It's not on the guy or yeah, woman who's hurt.
The beatdown that she takes and the allowing of the beatdowns is, I assume, where he. Well, it's not like he provided too much insight. It is Twitter. You know, there's never any insight there. People put an opinion out there, they drop it, and now everybody runs with it like it has some depth. Everybody's left to assume, you know, what was said. But it was pretty clear what he said. The referee is to blame for my sister getting hurt. Caitlin Clark has already missed 5 games with a groin injury in her left leg. Before we even got to the season, Caitlin Clark was dealing with a quad issue. I mean, before we got to these past 5 games, well, she was out. Just, it's tons. And I like the way her coach lies. Says we'll be fine without Caitlin Clark. They are 8-5 with her. They are 4-5 without her. And Caitlin Clark has been dealing with this these groin and leg issues all season long. And even so much right now, she's in a shooting slump. I would assume it has to deal with her leg issues because she can't hit a 3 to save her life. And she's supposed to be in a 3-point contest this Friday, 2 nights from now. And then the All-Star game for the WNBA is on Saturday night. She's shooting 19% from 3. Like, I would assume there's some physical issues going on. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Seth is here from Baltimore. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Seth?
JR, I'm well, bro. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm a first-time caller, but listen a lot.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you. What's on your mind?
Bro, I just want to let you know, man. I know the ESPYs might not have been as exciting recently, but listen to the ESPY band. The ESPY band is the heat, JR. It's got guys from Snoop's former band. The drummer used to be in the founding member of Fishbone and played with Justin Timberlake.
What?
The keyboard player is some virtuoso genius.
What?
They are amazing. The bass player, I think, wrote 187 for Snoop Dogg, played with Michael Jackson. Like,
wait. Help me out here. We're talking about the same ESPY Awards, right? The ESPN Awards?
That is correct, brother.
They have a band. Where's the band? I've been to the ESPYs. Are you talking about like in the orchestra inside?
I'm not sure where they're situated this year.
Wait a minute.
But they're there recording.
You're telling me that plays during the award show. Is that what you're referring to, Seth?
That is correct.
Ain't nobody listening to they play coming in and out of commercial. Ain't nobody thinking about them.
Bro, JR, I know, but you're an industry guy. So if you're there, you watching, I'm telling you, the show might be boring, but listen to those guys.
I've been to so many ESPY Awards, I could care less about going anymore. So, I mean, nobody ever sat at an ESPY Awards and said, oh, you know, how about the band? Nobody cares. Come on now.
That's true. All right, now, JR, last thing I gotta ask you, being from Baltimore, two things. How do you think my Ravens are going to do? And what's your opinion of the status of the Baltimore Orioles, man? What do you think the Orioles need to do? Is there any chance we get somebody like Joe Maddon to come in and manage the club next year? And thank
well,
you.
How, time, well, I'll don't, you, speak on no that. Problem, Seth. Thank you for calling from Baltimore. I don't know what they're going to do next year. I can tell you this, for the rest of this season, they need to get healthy. And they need to continue with their pitching getting healthy. That's numero uno. And the bats have turned on just a little bit, but they need to get their pitching together as they go down the stretch run. As it comes down to the Ravens, bruh, that's just one massive shrug. The Ravens look good. The Baltimore Ravens look good on paper every year. They're good. And Lamar Jackson has become more of a pocket passer. He's improved in that regard. They still need to get the job done in the postseason. It's the same old with the Ravens. I've been saying the same damn thing for the past 3 years with the Ravens. Like, Lamar Jackson can win MVPs. Can he help lead the team? Not to an MVP, a regular season MVP, but a Super Bowl MVP. Can Lamar Jackson, at the end of the day, stand around in February and say, boom, here's the Vince Lombardi trophy? Like, and this is something that we talk about all year long, every single season. Like, if you're a Ravens fan, aren't you tired of this? It's like, hey, I know if we're healthy, we're going to win 10, 11, 12, 13 games. Like, if I'm the Ravens, I just want to get through the season unscathed. I want to get there and be healthy. And then I want to see what we can do in the postseason. Not to say that all of a sudden we just need to skip the regular season. But at this point, it's moot. Give me a break. I got no interest. Botcher, what the hell is going on with the ESPYs? You found something interesting?
Well, here? I was looking up the band that he was talking about. I have no idea what Seth was talking about there.
But nobody care about no band.
No. They play like the 3 second NFL theme or 3 second MLB theme, whatever it is. But they will have performances. Busta Rhymes, Clips, and Jello will be performing tonight.
Excuse me?
Yeah, the LeAngelo Ball will be performing on stage.
The guy who did the one song, whoa, just him?
I assume by himself.
He's going to do that song and another song that nobody ever heard of or cares about.
He had the other one. I forgot what it was called, but it wasn't as bad. It wasn't that bad.
He had one song that hit for like a month, 2 months. Whoa. And now he's fallen off the face of the earth. On a separate note, I read that he's getting divorced. He's married? Did you know that or something like that? Or he's having a kid, right?
I think he's had a kid before. I think all three of them.
Something did? About a kid and then he left. I don't know. Something like that. I have no idea.
I don't know. But he's got 4 songs put out from his new album coming out.
Are you've listened to his album?
No, I've listened to Tweaker and I've listened to Can You Please featuring Glorilla. No idea what these other two are.
You like LeAngelo Ball's music?
No. I'd actually say that Lonzo Ball's music is better than LeAngelo Ball's music.
Lonzo Ball? What, the one on the... Wait. I'm mixing them up now. Lonzo, who just signed with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yes. He has better music than LiAngelo.
Are you going to tell me that LaMelo Ball from the Charlotte Hornets also makes music?
I do not think so, but his teammate does.
Bridges?
Yeah, Miles Bridges definitely does.
Didn't Miles Bridges... Well, we know he got in trouble for putting his hands on a woman. He wasn't smart enough to stop making music?
No, he put out a single called Jackie Chan that came out literally 5 days ago.
Oh, my. And I assume this song about Jackie Chan is about karate kicking people, beating them up?
There's no lyrics here, so I can't read them, but I'd assume so. It's a picture of him at karate class as a kid.
Oh, boy. He got nothing better to do in his off season. I mean, you got enough money. Build a studio in your house. Your hoop dreams have worked out so far. You might as well go out and try your hand at music, huh? Is that what it is? These guys haven't learned that most of them suck?
Yeah, it's something to do. It kills time. Doesn't
Isn't Damian Lillard? He's supposed to be good. I've listened to his music.
Lillard does it. Shador Sanders does it.
Ugh. But Lillard is okay, but even being okay, I don't want to hear him rhyme. Like, what is this?
It's a passion project.
Okay. All right. Everybody wants to hop into another lane where they have nothing to do with a damn thing. Well, I see Busta Rhymes is also there tonight, huh?
That's something.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody... God bless Busta Rhymes. Love Busta Rhymes, leaders of the new school. I love Busta Rhymes, but I don't think anybody's tuning into the ESPYs to see him. You know, just like I love Ludacris. I love Jermaine Dupri. Shout out to DJ Infamous. They were out there last night. I think most people tuning into the All-Star game, they didn't want to see these guys. They wanted to watch the game.
It was the guy from Fast and the Furious. That's what they know Ludacris as.
Well, Ludacris, I guess, maybe, right?
So the younger generation.
How many of those movies have they made? 20 of them?
There's 10. No, yeah, 10. And there's going to be an 11th.
I've never seen one of them.
None of them? The early ones are pretty good.
No. I'm not. What are they doing? Chasing cars or stealing them?
Well, the first few, they're like about racing, and there happens to be crime along with it. Oh, and then nice. When you get to the fifth one, they're kind of like, let's rob a bank and go all out. And they become like crime fighters and stuff, moving on to the newer ones.
Yeah, I got no interest. No thanks. No thanks. I'll go my whole life without probably watching one of these Fast and the Furious movies. No thanks. There's enough crime going on in the real world. I don't need to turn on a movie to watch it. Nice. Anyway. And who the hell is hosting the award show this? It's just some comedian that I also never heard of, right?
Yeah, it's Shane Gillis.
I've heard of him.
He's from barely. He does stand up for Netflix. Has the Netflix show Tires.
And he's a Netflix comedian.
He was. Yeah, he is. Okay. He was kicked off of SNL a couple years back. Other than that, he jumps around.
So he'll be better than some of the comedy that we've gotten in the past, I assume, right?
I'd hope so. I kind of his style of comedy is more of like fumbling around, just being casual, and just acting like a middle-aged man, college
frat
boy. Well,
let's listen to some of the attempts at comedy over the past several years. Like when Peyton Manning joked about Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City for the Warriors. Listen to this.
And our gymnastics team was so dominant that Kevin Durant told me he wants to play for them next year. I tell you, I don't think he'd start for that team, Kevin. Yeah. Russell Westbrook, what do you think?
Let's just say that Kevin Durant was in the audience and he was not too enthused. He had no expression on his face. A couple of years ago, we had John Cena out there. And John Cena, currently still in the WWE, when we talk about acting, John Cena was making jokes about, you know, the heroes and the villains in sports.
Time to take a look at yourself, sports, and realize that you're more like the WWE than you have ever imagined. Okay, LeBron, you used to be a good guy, and then you turned into a bad guy, and now you're a good guy again? And you left the NBA hanging. What are they going to do when they don't have a bad guy? Exactly what we do. They're going to make a new one.
Yeah, yeah. They're good guys and bad guys. And now John Cena, ironically, is playing a bad guy. A great character work. And then we had Drake. Drake was, I don't think they'd have him there now. Didn't he host once or twice?
Did it a couple times.
Wow.
But that's got to be least 8 years ago?
Yeah. They're not bringing him back the way Kendrick Lamar destroyed him. No. But let's take a listen to this guy. He sung about the athletes and their extracurricular activities.
This is a song about the real glue that holds the sports world together. It's a song that I call Side Pieces. Side Pieces. I know that you're watching this from home. I can't wait to see you on the road. Cheering from the shadows, I hear you calling out. Wifey sees a Texan ass, what's this all about?
Okay. Yeah, well, there you go. Drake singing about side pieces. All right. Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people looking to get shows out at the ESPY Awards. They are looking to get shows. Okay. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some college football. We've had a Big 12 Media Day last week, SEC Media Days this week. We're going to have a chat with Pete Fewitek from collegefootballnews.com. He's going to join us on the other side of the break to break it all down, because the clock is a ticking as to what we will see in the college football season. We'll have that chat with Pete on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got the ESPY Awards getting ready to go down. We got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and Home Run Derby that have taken place over the past few days. WNBA is moving towards its All-Star break with Caitlin Clark kind of in limbo due to injury. So there's still plenty going on in the world of sports, but the countdown is on for some football. And yeah, we're going to get the NFL training camp sooner than later. Rookies are reporting. But on the college side, we've already had some media days. We're going to blink and we're already going to be staring at week zero. The Big 12 had its media days last week. The SEC had its turn this week to talk about some of the things we've heard and what we can expect heading into the season and during the year. Joining us right now is the founder of collegefootballnews.com, Pete Fewitek. Pete, how are you, man?
The ESPYs, last night's All-Star game, there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on in sports right now. We're all just waiting for football to kick in. It's okay. It's okay. It's that time of year.
Hey, it is. It's sitting in the middle of July. I'm waiting on that time. You are right about that, Pete. Well, based on some of the things we've heard last week, there's so much talk about the college football playoff and who's going to be in and how many spots they get. At this point in time, it's kind of sickening. Where do you think that they're eventually going to land on this issue?
Well, I'll argue that they'll start off arguing your point that they're calling it, quote, sickening, because it's fine. You know what? It's still better than any other playoff going, because even if they expand to 16, you're still getting fewer teams involved. You know, remember, there's 136 college football teams. If you look at any other sport, like all the pro sports, basically you have a 50-50 shot at getting into the playoffs. NBA, it's like a 65% shot if you're counting the play-in games. And the NCAA basketball tournament is about a 38% chance to get in. So it's still really hard to get into these games. Now, the problem is, once you get in, unless you are a superpower, you have no shot. Like, you're not going to ever get a Boise State or any sort of, you know, Cinderella-type team go in there and do anything great, because it's just too hard. It's a different sort of sport. But it's fine. You know what? It's still the regular season's still going to matter. You're still going to get the teams in there. You're not going to get really any outliers. You might get an upset or two here or there, but the best teams are always going to end up in the top of the college football heap.
Pete Fewitek here with us from collegefootballnews.com. As SEC had its time to shine this week here in Atlanta, Georgia, we've been looking for some SEC action when it comes to actually winning the national championship. What are your thoughts on what we can expect this upcoming season? Obviously, a lot of storylines with Kirby Smart. We still have Texas now in the SEC. A lot of expectations on Arch Manning, LSU, and Kelly. What are the biggest stories that you're paying attention to?
Yeah, all of that. It's the biggest storyline overall, overarching it, use the word arch, is the starting quarterback. So, like, right now, I mean, the U.S., Bob, like, ask any sports fan, any college sports fan, to give who is the starting quarterback for Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Michigan. And it's like they can't do it. I mean, because you don't have the star power there. Like, usually, I remember going into last year, everyone kind of knew who, you know, guys like Carson Beck were and Jalen Milroe. And, you know, if you're a deep college football fan, you knew, you know, Will Howard coming over as Kansas, was at Kansas State for several years. And, you know, so everyone had a quarterback and or else got a quarterback in the transfer portal like Notre Dame got Riley Leonard from Duke. You don't have that this year. You've got a lot of young players who have never played before. You don't have any massive transfers other than Carson Beck going to Miami that matters. So you have, you know, Cade Klubnik at Clemson, and you have Drew Aller at Penn State. And even those guys aren't like household names. I mean, they're, you know, college football fans will know who they are, but like the average fan won't know, you know, who those guys are yet. And then you have Arch Manning, who for all the hype, he's only played four games. And he never really has not yet to play a real team. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there over all the top teams. Who's got the quarterback who can come through?
Well, Pete, you mentioned Drew Aller and what we saw last year. What step are you expecting Penn State to make this upcoming season? There's a lot of expectations because of just the continuity aspect based on what we saw last year.
Exactly. So, like, last year was easy. I mean, last year you could knew in February that Ohio State was going to win the national championship. They just had more talent than everyone else. You know, they had everyone coming back on that defense. They were all motivated. They have 50-60-year seniors. And then you get Caleb Downs, the great safety from Alabama, and you had all these young wide receivers that were expected to step up, and you had the backfield full of stars. Everything was in place there. Kind of like that with Penn State, except that they're just not quite as good. They've got all the talent in place. They've got the backfield. They've got all the experience, and they have the starting quarterback. So overall, they have the most talent returning that you can kind of know about. You can say, okay, I get that unit's really good. That defensive front's nasty, and you know, they got player after player after player. But there's still that prove it factor where Ohio State was just knocking on the door for years and years and years. Penn State hasn't quite been there, so they don't really get that same benefit of the doubt. But yeah, talent wise, they are the best team in the country coming into the season, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, like it couldn't be Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State. You know, you've all these other teams which are right there.
Pete Fucek is here with us from collegefootballnews.com. You've mentioned some of the big name schools we expect to be in a college football playoff, and it's still early. I know we're in July. But is there a team that you think is going to take a step forward? We always have a couple of teams. A couple of seasons ago, it's like, what the hell is TCU doing here? What are your thoughts about a team that may be situated to get some run that nobody thinks about?
Yeah, so basically you're asking who's the Arizona State in this question, because like the entire Big 12 is right there. You don't have the conference from top to bottom is better, good. I mean, even like Cincinnati and Houston, I mean, those teams are better this year. Kansas should be way better this year. And then Utah and Arizona, who flopped in their first year after coming over from the Pac-12, they're both terrific, especially Utah. And Arizona State gets just about everyone back except for Cam Scadabo at running back. So, like, you have an entire conference full of very good teams. You're probably not getting two in from that league because getting to the 12-team college football playoff, at least for the time being, it seems like you've got to have at least 10 wins. And that's going to be tough for more than one team. So you're going to have the Big 12 champion. So a long-winded way of saying, if you can figure out who the Big 12 champion is, and I kind of think it's Utah early on has the most in the bag there, that's kind of, I don't want to say your outlier, but that's the one that can at least get there who maybe a little bit off the grid. I'm not saying they're going to do anything once they get there, but that's going to be kind of one of those teams that's just going to be just good enough to kind of be the Arizona State. Like, oh, okay, so you get one of those top four spots, even though you are, you know, 9-4 as the Big 12 champ.
Yeah, I was going to say, I take a look at the Big 12. My expectation is that they just go out there and cannibalize each other.
Yep, exactly right. That again, there's absolutely no shocking result
you can find on a game-by-game basis. Like, if you say, you know, Kansas beat Iowa State, okay, you know, or Cincinnati takes down, you know, Arizona State, all right, you know, because everyone's just a little, you know, all about the same, and none of them are national championship good, but there's a lot of very, very, very good teams. There's a lot of 6-6, 7-5 teams in that bunch.
Pete Fuitek is here with us from collegefootballnews.com. Speaking of the Big 12, it feels to a certain degree between them and the ACC that they're trying to fight out of being little brother between the SEC and then the Big 10, which obviously now spans all across the country. Is that always going to be the case? I mean, we still have conference realignment going on. We still have NIL. Like, is there a space and time and way where the two smaller conferences can join Big Brother?
Not really, because you're just not going to have – there's a whole bunch of reasons for this. One, and don't forget in all this, the SEC is not far out of that. Because it's good. It's the SEC. It means more, and everyone, you know, it's got Alabama, all the power teams, all power conferences. Eventually, everyone's going to wake up and realize that a couple years from now, Purdue's going to make more money than Alabama. The Big Ten has all the money. They have all the biggest deals, all the biggest markets. It's the biggest conference. Doesn't mean Purdue's better than Alabama. It just means that they're getting paid more, which in an NIL world, you're going to have more money to play around with. And then eventually these SEC teams, their schools are going to be like, wait a minute here. How come we're not getting that deal? So it's not a power two. In terms of business, it's the Big Ten. There's about a 100-foot drop in the SEC, then about a 500-foot drop in the Big Ten and ACC. And the problem with trying to say, okay, well, we're going to create some super league of just the power four teams. If you remember 2020, when you had just conference in conference action, when you had, you know, all the SEC's teams only played each other, and I think you only had like four teams that finished with winning records after the bowl season. So if you're someone like, Mississippi State, you're never going to have a winning record if you're going to play, if you don't get those three games against Central Directional State and, you know, some other one double, you know, FCS team and then a MAC team. You're never going to have those winning records. And so a lot of these schools aren't going to like the idea of having to scratch and claw by going 4-8 by playing nobody but Alabama, then Georgia, then, you know, Tennessee, then all the killers right in a row. So you've got to have schedules that at least have some sure wins on there for at least the most of the members.
No, Pete, you know, talking about the ACC, there's a guy who's coming over from the NFL. He's still talking about his time in the NFL. How long is Bill Belichick going to be sticking around in North Carolina, given how he hasn't even coached a game yet and is a focus in on everything but football?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, that's one of those – you asked before about who's that, you know, funky outlier team. North Carolina's not anywhere near as good as Clemson or Miami coming into
right.
the season. But their schedule is not bad. They have one nasty game, I believe it's Clemson, and they get that one at home. Either Clemson or Miami. They get one of those two at home. And every other game you're looking at, you're kind of like, wait a minute, that's not bad. It could be Wake Forest. You know, they could win, you know, NC State. They could beat Duke, even though Duke's really good this year. But, like, you look at their schedule, and you can say, you know, and it might be mid-November, and we're talking about 8-1 North Carolina. And Bill Belichick is like, wow, look at this. It's working and everything just because the schedule is really good. The other part of this is, remember, it's not like Bill Belichick can go back to the NFL and be the emperor of all he surveyed. I mean, because nowadays in the NFL, obviously, you've got GMs, you've got other factors. You can't just be the coach, GM, and own every aspect of the franchise and the personnel thing. It's hard to do, and he'll never get that kind of control if he goes back to the NFL. In college, it's if you're the head coach, that's your show. You are the lord of the whole manor. So it'll be hard for him, ego-wise, to say, yeah, I want to be back in the NFL, unless he wants to go just as purely a head coach and, has full trust in whoever the general manager would be.
Huh. Yeah, well, he can ask his girlfriend for advice. She'd be able to help him out, right?
Hey, you know what? Getting older as I am, God bless you. Like, that's not knock it out, Bill Belichick. You do what you do, and You know, look, if they win, all of that girlfriend stuff is just kind of a fun, quirky side note. If they lose, then that's what becomes a distraction. Just all that matters is just win, just do your job and win, and then everything else would be fine.
Yeah, what a way to potentially end a coaching career. What a wild one. Hey, Pete, thank you so much for the time. Tell everybody where they can follow you and all your work with collegefootballnews.com.
That's it, collegefootballnews.com. We've got all the rankings up now, all 136 team previews. If you want to deep dive into every team, we've got every team analyzed, broken down with win totals and all that kind of fun stuff. So, collegefootballnews.com.
Hey, Pete, thank you so much for the time. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Absolutely. You have a great night.
You as well. Shout outs to Pete Fuatek for joining us from collegefootballnews.com. Hey, we mentioned Bill Belichick. He's in the news again for nothing related to North Carolina. It seems like he's still got a beef with his former employer, Robert Kraft. Is this just going to bleed on forever? We're going to get into that on the other side of the break. Of course, at the top of the hour, it's going to be time for a new top six list. We're going to give you a list of the top six NFL rookies to watch in 2025. We'll talk about Bill Belichick on the other side of the break. But right now, it is time for a news flash. Here he is. Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Pete Fuatek for joining us from collegefootballnews.com. If you missed that interview, talking about everything from big conferences to little conferences to Belichick to Drew Aller and Arch Manning. If you missed any of that chat, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app, okay? And when we get to the top of the hour in about 15 minutes, it's going to be time for a new top six list. We're going to take a look at the top six NFL rookies to watch for in the year 2025. But to kind of put a bow on the conversation we just had with Pete Fuatek, you want to think about a rookie. There's a rookie coach in college football who's had a lot of success at the professional level, has never done it at the college level, and there are some interesting expectations. It's been an interesting ride so far, and he's yet to coach a game. That man is Bill Belichick. We just talked about him. Showing up at North Carolina, has his girlfriend with him, who's 50 years his junior, after 29 seasons with the Browns and the Patriots, and third most wins all time in the NFL, six championships, eight, count them. If you want to take a look at his time as a defensive coordinator with the New York Giants, Bill Belichick, by all means, is not a rookie when it comes down to coaching. He is a rookie coaching at the college level. And he's been back in the news, or he's back in the news today, because he responded to some comments that Robert Kraft made to Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski on their Dudes on Dudes podcast. Yeah, what else would you call a Rob Gronkowski podcast? Dudes on Dudes. Anyway, Robert Kraft was asked about hiring Bill Belichick. And Robert Kraft, the owner of the Pats, said, it was a big risk. That was the biggest risk that he has ever taken as owner of the team. He says, the one I got questioned the most about was in 1999. I gave up a number one draft pick to the Jets for a coach that had only won a little over 40% of his games to get him out. I don't know if there are any Jets fans here. I think getting Bill Belichick to come to the Pats in 1999 was a big risk. And I got hammered in the Boston area, but he was with us for 24 years. Robert Kraft is also on record as saying the past couple of seasons with the Patriots have been the worst of his time there. And then he kind of said, Robert Kraft, that we did okay, thinking about the six championships that they won. Okay, sure, yeah, fine. Now, you might recall, when it was reported that they mutually agreed to part ways, that sounded like a load of crap. Bill Belichick basically got fired. Listen to the press conference announcing that he was leaving. This is what Robert Kraft had to say at the time.
Any of you who are in it's like a marriage, and things don't always go great, and you know, you get through the difficult times and it makes the relationship stronger. And I think we had a chance to do that over the last almost quarter of a century. So I think both of us felt that at this point in time, it was in our mutual interest to each go our own way. But knowing that we have that bond and foundation, that's really hard in this business to create. Very hard.
Mutual. After that press conference, Robert Kraft said, yeah, kind of when I let Bill Belichick go. Back in April on CBS, Bill Belichick basically reiterated on that one of that famous interview with the girlfriend. He's just like, listen, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways. He wanted to promote his book, and he reiterated multiple times, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways. Well, apparently Bill Belichick has now responded to Robert Kraft saying that it was a big risk to bring him on. And I guess these two guys, one in his 70s, one in his 80s, they're just going to be punching back for the next several years, however much longer they're going to be here. Bill Belichick said that it was he who took a big risk in joining a franchise that was, let's just say, the Pats sucked at that time. This is from Bill Belichick from ESPN. As I told Robert multiple times through the years, I took a big risk by taking the New England Patriots head coaching job. I already had an opportunity to be the head coach of the New York Jets, but the ownership situation was unstable. Yeah, Woody Johnson was buying the team. Belichick said he was urged by scores of people to reject Kraft's offer and remain with the Jets, who just hired him, despite the instability. I've been warned by multiple previous Patriots coaches, as well as other members of the NFL organizations and the media, that the New England job was going to come with many internal obstacles. I made it clear that we would have to change the way the team was managed to regain their previously attained success. We got just grumpy old men fighting. This is where we are? I mean, with all the success that they had over the years, the end is where they want to just sit and lie down on? Come on, man. We can do better than this. I want you to listen to Bill Belichick. This is months ago, talking about his time in New England.
Had a vision of, you know, building a winner, building a championship football team here that exceeded my wildest dreams and expectations. The amount of success that we were able to achieve together, you know, through a lot of hard work and, you know, contributions of so many people. So I'm very proud of that, and I always had those great memories. I'll carry with those with me the rest of my life.
Bill Belichick is 73 years old. Robert Kraft is 84. And Robert Kraft, every now and then, he's just going to sit around and say something crazy. Because he's old. And not because he's old. He's an NFL owner. He's a billionaire. He's old. He's just going to say what's on his mind without fear of a repercussion. This is a man who decided to go to a massage parlor and receive massages. And all of a sudden, the evidence was impermissible. Yeah, being a billionaire certainly helps in a lot of regards. And so he's just going to say whatever's on his mind. I would encourage Robert Kraft to maybe just fall back and relax. Like, you have a new head coach, one that you can probably be happy about, in Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was one of the best coaches in the NFL in Tennessee. And the only reason that he got the boot is, well, Amy Adams, what does she know about anything going on in Tennessee? This is a woman who thought Will Levis was going to be worth a damn, or at least co-signed it. He got rid of the guy in the building who knows the most and pretty much told you about it. And so, look, I think it's time for Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick to just shut up about the time. Embrace it. If I'm a Patriots fan, I'm looking at the 6 titles that we won. And I'm good. Like, I don't need to hear about Bill Belichick anymore. He's gone. You've had some terrible years. You've had some bad years. Post-Tom Brady was not fun. Looking at the offense with Cam Newton, barely tried to score, was not fun. But it's time to move on, especially when you guys are both AARP eligible. Well, now anybody can be AARP eligible. They start hitting people up early now. Either way, Robert Kraft, just stop complaining, bro. And Bill Belichick, get over it. What do you need to defend yourself for? You won 6 titles. Enjoy your young girlfriend. And enjoy coaching at North Carolina. Apparently, if you ask me, there isn't too much that any one of these guys needs to be out here complaining about. So let's stop. Bacha, why are these old guys complaining for?
Because the way I see it is that Robert Kraft in himself wanted to just get rid of Bill Belichick, but Belichick, as the face and icon of the Patriots, wanted to leave on his own accord. And over time, tension built, and Robert Kraft said, I'm going to fire you one way or another. It's going to be clean or dirty. And Belichick said, okay, I'll do it in good light. And either way, there's still going to be tension and bad blood if you get fired by someone. You didn't want to leave when you wanted to, and now you got kicked out. And then, of course, it was hard for him to find a second job, and now he's coaching in college. So I'd be mad if I was Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to look at the realities of the situation. And I think as they both understand, time ran up, it's good. Like, y'all had a 20-year run, the most successful 20-year run that you would ever have in football, which you're not supposed to have. Just shut up about it. Y'all are getting old. Like, no need to spark beef here and wait till one guy is dead, okay? Just keep it moving. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, it's time for a new top six list. We're going to talk about the top six NFL rookies to watch in 2025. Don't move.